Welcome to Women in Translation, an audio series showcasing the richness of European women authors, translators, and more.
In this episode, host Kristen Miller talks with Valencian poet Noelia Diaz-Bizedo about her life and work, and we hear poems from the collection Bloody Roots. Kristen began by asking her where she is nowadays.
I am in London at the moment, and I am teaching at Queen Mary University of London.
Can you tell me about the process of living between languages and cultures? How has living in Valencia and London respectively affected your identity and your work?
Well, that's a really good question, and as well, I dare to say it's the question of my entire life, because, well, I was born in Spain, in Alicante, where we have two official languages, Catalan and Spanish. Basically, I've been living, let's say, between two worlds forever since I was born, although I do not believe in bilingualism, I have to say. There's always one language that is prioritized over the other one. Because for me, Catalan is, as I like to call it, the language of love, meaning that is the language of my family. It is the language of my mother, the language that I first started speaking. And then I went to school, and of course, you know, I already knew Castilian. I was not using it too much, but of course, you know the language. But Castilian, let's say, that became like the language of culture. And Valencian, which is my variety of Catalan, stayed as the language of the, as I said before, like the language of love and the language of the everyday life. And I have been oscillating between these two worlds since I started school and since I was very little. And it is actually this gap or this constant oscillating from one language to another and between cultures as well, because there are cultural differences between both. And I could not find all those cultural, let's say, signals or cultural symbols. I could not find them in school, in the poetry I was reading in Castilian. I could not find any of these in the classical poets or, you know, like everyday actions and feelings were in Catalan, and then thoughts and knowledge was in Castilian until very late that I found out that there was a Catalan literature. And when I found out about this Catalan literature, actually my entire way of understanding literature actually changed, and culture as well. We are talking about the 80s. It was right after Franco's dictatorship. So the officiality of the languages, let's say, like education, was not in Catalan yet, officially. So all this knowledge, let's say, that was kept from me until very late in life. Now, when I transferred to UK to complete my studies, then, you know, we added a third language to this oscillation between cultures and languages. And I started exploring what it was to write in a third language. It was quite an interesting process. I started writing in English while I was doing my PhD thesis in London. And then I stopped, because when you use one language or when you use another language, this language takes you and leads you to different parts of yourself. English language was taking me, was leading me to places I didn't want to go. And that actually made me think about the connection between language and culture through the emotions. I did not have an emotional attachment to the English language. Therefore, you know, it would allow me to be, let's say, more daring, or to go to quite the dark spaces that I didn't want to go at the moment. So I stopped writing poems in English. So this is basically how my understanding with culture also goes inherent and inherent in language. Language is what actually shapes our thought. It provides the tools whereby you express yourself. And those tools have different shape when they are in one language or another language.
Yeah, certainly. This is fascinating to hear. Can you talk a little bit more about the relation of Catalan language to Valencia in particular?
Yeah, the language is the same. It's a Catalan language, but we call it Valencian, Valencia, in País Valencia, which is the area that I'm from. Valencian country is called. It's got some, you know, the differences are very minor. We have just a different accent and maybe some different words, but the language is the same. What it's not the same is the institutional support of the language is not the same as it is, for example, in Catalonia or as it is in Balearic Islands as well. That is the difference. But the language is exactly the same. We are very proud to call it Valencia, Valencia in our own variety.
Wonderful. And you write primarily in Catalan, correct?
Yes, using my own variety, but yes, it's Catalan. Mm-hmm. We call the language like that. Yes, and it's part, Valencia is also part of the so-called Catalan countries, Països Catalans, which includes all the areas that Catalan is spoken in its official language. That's Catalonia, El País Valencià, a Valencian country, and Illes Balears on the Balearic Islands. And also includes Alghero in Sardinia and what is called Catalunya Nord, which is the southeast area in France.
There. So let's talk a bit about your Bloody Roots, which is a collection of poems in Catalan, translated in part by yourself. What inspired Bloody Roots?
Bloody Roots, Arrel Sagnant in the original Catalan, it's a very special book for me, not only because it's the first one I published, but because it is a set of poems that, you know, that have been written in a rather dilated segment of time over the period of 10 years. So it required quite a lot of thought. So what's behind the book, as it is in what's behind the action of poetry for me, is the gap. It's the space, the void that I find between my own self and my experiences as a woman and the empowerment that I feel with language and the agency I have with language. And the question that is behind the book, because I think that poetry is about asking the question, is how was I or how am I to dialogue with culture, since culture has constructed me and, you know, and women as, we can even say, as monsters or strange creatures. And, you know, we've been kept away from culture. And this is probably, I would say, is the main question about the book. And what I try to do in the book is to dialogue with Western culture, obviously always from a feminist perspective. So this is what's behind the book, and that's why it's called Bloody Roots. It's the blood that is created by this void that bleeds, no? It's a wound that bleeds. And the blood is a very important symbol in my own poetic imagery. I actually realized about it after, you know, because the blood keeps repeating itself in the poems. It keeps appearing, and then, you know, after a while you're wondering, oh, why, you know, because the poems.
Mm-hmm. So you notice the pattern of blood recurring in the poems after the fact.
Yeah.
You had mentioned, you know, your role as a woman in the arts, as a woman poet. What role does feminism play in your poetry?
Well, it's central. It is central to it. I consider myself a feminist. I research on feminism. I think there is a need to rewrite our entire history and our entire system, semiotic system, meaning our entire system of knowledge and in the way that we as women search for references. And this needs to be done from a feminist perspective, from a woman's point of view. So the feminism is central to my work. And I'm very much influenced by the feminism of sexual difference, which is a little bit, it's a different perspective from other theoretical approaches on feminism. But feminism is central to my work.
Great. So now let's take a look at Bloody Roots. Would you be able to do some readings for us?
Sure, with pleasure.
Great. If you would like to start in Catalan and then read the same in English, that would be wonderful. And you can start with still.
Yeah, sure. Encara. Encara vint espases, empunxen el cos, te dols vi i copa glaçada. Encara vint tentacles, enxuclen la pell, de paraules balbes amb fils de tempesta. És vi amor. Que amb la llet oferta, una llàgrima òrfena en parla. Sense por ni recança, en compte que avui l'han fet presa. Presa de tu i de la teua llengua, que fibla per dir-te no. Però no és cap cosa dir que aquest poema se'n passa a l'escletxa. És aquesta sang a la panxa que m'ha portat, amb dolça follia, un am amb nom d'amor. Still, 20 swords still pierce my body, holy wine and frozen cup. 20 tentacles still suck my skin of stammering words with threads of storm. Today, my love, like consecrated milk, a new frontier has come to me. Without regret or fear, it says to me, that you today have been snared. Imprisoned by your tongue, what barb would dare to tell you no? But there is nothing more to say. This poem leaps across the gulf. This blood inside my gut has wrought sweet madness as a trap whose name is love.
Thank you, Noelia. Those were beautiful. Would you like to also read Dark Mirror or Poem for a Woman now?
Sure. Obscur espill o poema d'una dona. La renegada endiablada, folla de ment, Déu no tement. M'agraden els meus pits oferts a la lluna i els astres. El foc dels meus ulls que llampega punyent, casa, finestra i verandes. M'agrada la meua llengua badada, fada que dibuixa cos, saó i arrels. M'agrada tancar la mà i fer blasfèmia, el sol de l'hora que em malda per blegar-me sense esma. D'aquest imperi gosse fer fugina i dir que al meu Déu no li cal ni home ni dona ni cap mentida. És ell qui disfressat de Déu em deia, ara l'espasa, i jo em penedia. Jo d'aquest imperi gosse fer fugina i porte la tristesa al terrat, on ni el sol ni cap pecat pot vèncer aquest cor desdentegat. Dark Mirror, a Poem for a Woman. The renegade, wretched, mad, insane woman who does not fear God. I like to offer up my breasts to the moon and stars. The fire in my eyes flashes starkly, houses, windows, and balconies. I like to hold my mouth agape, a fairy drawing bodies, providence and roots. I like to close my hands and speak blasphemy in the sun at the appointed time, which tries to judge me without trial. From this empire, I have dared to flee and say that my God neither needs a man nor a woman nor a lie. It is he, disguised as God, who said to me, and now the sword and my regrets. From this empire, I have dared to flee, taking my sadness to the height where neither the sun nor sin can defeat this toothless heart.
Wow, beautiful, powerful poetry. Thank you so much for taking the time to read those today. Can you talk a little bit about the poems and what the subject matter is and what inspired them?
Sure. This last poem that I read, The Dark Mirror, or the poem for a woman, is a response to Jaume Roig, who was a doctor from Valencia, who wrote a treatise on women. He was a doctor, and he had his nephew was about to get married. So, you know, he writes this book in order to warn him against women. And it's called Espill o Libre de les Dones. We are talking about randomly 1460. It is the 15th century. And it is this book is considered one of the most important books in Catalan literature. The first time I read it, I was shocked, literally, you know, to read all the absolutely outrageous things that he was saying about women. And I decided to respond with this poem. And that's why it's called Dark Mirror, because the original is called Mirror. And this one is a reply and a form of rewriting these things that he was saying. I was shocked when I first read the book. The book was published in 1460, around. It's not exact. The date is not exact. It's not known exactly when it was published, but it's definitely the 15th century. It's considered one of the most important books in Catalan literature, in medieval Catalan literature.
And then, so the Mirror or Poem for a Woman, what was it that inspired Still?
Yeah, Still is actually a poem about the use of language in itself. You know, how I have inherited, well, me and every woman inherits the language from the father. And, you know, this language that we inherit is loaded with a system of knowledge and signs and symbols. And it tells you what to say, how to say it, and this is actually another response to it, and saying, that's why, what Barb will dare to tell you no? Probably they would not dare to tell you no, but, you know, we are saying no. And we as women, we also feel a bit imprisoned by that tongue, no? Language's tongue.
Yeah, that's a very powerful line. Imprisoned by your tongue, what Barb will dare to tell you no. On that same subject of language, did you translate this piece yourself? I know that you, in part, translated this book.
This book was translated by myself and Clive Buttle. We translated it together.
Okay. Have you had any translation challenges in the process?
Yes, loads of challenges. Probably the main challenge is always when you transfer from a Latin language, like in this case is Catalan, into English, is the gender. Because the gender that is, you know, the feminine words that I was using in Catalan. Then when you transfer them into English, you lose the gender. And that is probably the most challenging bit. But I don't think I'm going to translate again my poems. It is rather excruciating experience. I know it's really terrible to translate your own work.
Interesting. So what is the experience like translating your own poetry compared to having someone else do it? Do you prefer to have someone else do it?
Yes, I have to say. It is very difficult when you have to explain, you know, the images and those images that have been written in a rather, you know, like something that it's not being rationalized. You do not think about it while you're writing. You think about it after you've written it, but not while you're writing it. And that is very difficult. When Clive was asking me, what do you mean in this line? I was like, what do I mean in this line? I mean, yes, it forces you to think about your own poetry, which is something good, of course. You always have to think about your poetry. But when you have to go line by line, it is a rather difficult and complex process.
Have you felt as though anything was lost in translation? Any of your intended message?
Yes, there are always things that are lost in translation, always. But sometimes there are things that you gain. For example, in the title of the book in English, Bloody Roads, I think it adds some irony that doesn't have in Catalan, Arrels Sagnants. And I quite like that. So you always lose things in translation.
So now, would you be willing to read some more poems for us?
Yep.
Would you like to start with The Return?
El retorno. La divina era, la de los brazos blancos, m'ha enviat. Ven del llevant, amb frecs d'angoixa, torna la llum de solitud. Entre oli, y la carne en la carne, llestes de guerra. Camins de foc pels carrers valps. Venit sense lluna, y yo entre terra y terra. He vingut sense mots ni trespol, glop a glop, amb l'aigua freda. Jo et portaré tots els castells i totes les flames amb el bleix de l'aire. Una nova mel, per aquest meu nou paisatge. The Return. Divine Hera, she of the white arms has sent for me. The easterly wind, with its caresses of anguish, returns me to the light of solitude, from oil to oil and flesh on flesh, a token of war. Paths of fire along empty streets, moonless nights, and I between two lands. I have come without words or shelter, sip by sip of cold water. I will bring you all the castles and all the flames with a gasp of air, a fresh start, my new horizon.
Thank you. That was beautiful. Would you also like to read Medusa's Eyes and Poem of Deeds?
Els ulls de Medusa. Àcid, sulfur, ferir de llet a la pell, bon menjar per mon cor, malaltís de set. Que jo, fuetejada als quatre vents, ni tan sols una llàgrima de mi té. Agafa allò que els déus t'han ofert. Però a mi, qui em diu com s'ha de fer? Viure en virtut i en servitud donar paraules i pensaments, més a qui cantar. Qui desitja l'udol d'uns ulls de foc mullats de pluja tardorenca? Medusa's Eyes. Acid, sulfur, Phenomenal meal comes the skin. Banquet for my thirsty heart. And I, tossed by the four winds, will shed not one tear for you. Take what the gods have offered. Who will tell me what I have to do? To live in virtue and to give in servitude, words and thoughts. But who will I sing to? Who would desire the howl of the eyes of fire, moistened by the autumn rain? Poema del Fet. Ja has estat amic advertit. Ja has vist la lluna fosca de braços vençuts i la melanja estreta a les banderes dels traïts. Foc del desig fumat, nàufrag despullat. Cabells de la flor cremen els ulls gelats. Ja has vist, amic, el sol, la mar i el vent, i ja pots fugir i peixer la tempesta. Els dits refaran l'ànima per convidar-te a una altra festa. Poem of Dates. Friend, you have already been warned. You have already seen the dark moon with defeated arms, the upright sadness of betrayed flags, fire of obscure desire, naked shipwrecked sailor. The hair of flowers burns the cold paper. Friend, you have already seen the sun, the sea, and the wind. Now you can run away and feed the tempest. My fingers will restore your soul to call you to another feast.
Thank you so much for reading those, Noelia. Those were beautiful. Can you talk
you.
a little bit about the poems and the process of writing them?
Well, this last poem I read, the poem of the deeds, is a poem again that, like an answer, a reply to the book of the deeds, El Libre dels Fates, is the chronicle of James the First, which is a medieval book written in the 13th century, approximately. In 1229, that it's a book about the conquest of the kingdoms of Valencia and Mallorca for the Christendom, for the Christians. And it is a reference as well to my own Valencian identity, a reference to these poems, you know, written by someone who is an unknown woman and, you know, feels that her experiences are lost in that chronology of, you know, wonderful, magnificent deeds carried out by courageous, valiant men along the history. And well, Medusa's Eyes is a reference to the figure, the ancient figure of Medusa, which is one of the main points in my poetry, is to dialogue with the myths and with all the knowledges. You know that Medusa, or the Gorgons, Medusa is one of the Gorgons in the ancient mythology. They were considered terrible women, you know, the hair was... It was snakes. And Athena had Medusa's face on the shield to protect her. Medusa was protecting Athena from her own virginity. So if any man that would dare to look at Athena's body, Medusa will convert them into stone and then they will disappear. So this is like a reference to one of my favorite images of ancient mythology, which is the eyes of Medusa. They have that power, no? They have the power to paralyzed men. And in the return, we have Hera, who was the wife of Zeus. And Hera is a very interesting image, mythological image, because she was rebelling once and again, like every deed by Zeus, and Hera was rebelling. She will rebel against Zeus, against her husband.
How did you become interested in Greek mythology? I'm curious.
Because I think that the ancient Greek mythology is the basis of our Western culture. And I have, I know I'm interested in rereading all those mythological images from a modern perspective, you know, from a contemporary perspective, from my own eyes, and also from a feminist point of view. I think it's important that we are able to rewrite all these historical figures. They are part of quite an ancient world, but I think their meanings and all the references of the images have been passed over generations throughout all this time. So I think it's important that, you know, we revise all this, the origins of our culture.
Yes, definitely. So from these poems here, which one was the most challenging to translate, would you say, and why?
From those poems, I think the most challenging one to translate was the Dark poem, because I was using a rather difficult, complex metrics, because half of it is got one rhythm, one measurement, and then the other half is got another one, a different one. And it has, and to transfer that into English was quite of a challenge. And it also, the prosody is always very difficult to translate, like the musicality, the sound, that's always, it's probably the most difficult point when you are translating poetry. How you transfer the musicality of the words you have in one language to another. That's got different sounds. And I also use some difficult words there too, some medieval words in reference to the book.
Apart from being a poet and a translator, you also teach, you had said, in London. How has your love for literature and poetry and languages influenced your teaching?
I think I'm not able to separate these two things from myself. I always try to be or to show, because in London, I've been teaching contemporary literature, but I've also been teaching language, for example, and culture. And I always try to bring literary texts and talk about literature, even if it's language, even if it's culture, even if it's history, even if it's theory. Because in a literary text, and especially in poetry, you have all of these features, historical data, cultural data, linguistic, even philological data. You have all of that in literature. Literature allows you to explore all these things together. You see in a text what is behind the text, what is the context, what is like the author, what is the language that is using, and what is the significance that this language is bringing up or bringing about in the text. And how can you extrapolate that to, for example, to the teaching of language or the teaching of history or teaching or any other discipline? Are you always trying to bring literature into teaching, especially poetry? But I don't think I can separate myself from these two different things, different activities of of my life.
So you're teaching now. Can you tell me a little bit about what else you're doing? Are you writing? Are you in the process of creating another book?
Yes. Yes, I'm always in the process of writing. Although I have to say that, you know, since we have been immersed into this pandemic, I have not been able to write a line. I was blocked, completely blocked. But at the moment, yes, I have another book coming. I don't know. The plan was to be published before the pandemic, but now I'm not sure when it will be out. And I'm also now in the process of writing a novel. I'm writing a novel at the moment. It is challenging for me. I'm not sure what I would do with the novel. I haven't thought about it. I'm actually experimenting a little bit with the prose. I haven't thought about what to do with it.
But that's all the questions I have for you today. Thank you so much for your time, Noelia. This was a lovely conversation. I really appreciated your readings and your willingness to share more about what inspired your work.
Thank you very much for this lovely conversation and for having me.
You've been listening to Valencian poet Noelia Diaz-Vicedo in conversation with Kristen Miller. The bilingual edition of her poetry, Bloody Roots, is available from Francis Bootle Publishing.
Women in Translation is an audio series showcasing the richness of European women authors, translators, and more. This series is executive produced by Trafica Europe Radio. Please sign up at our site to stay informed about upcoming shows. Thanks for listening.